So this is a well-known verse of Bhagavad Gita. In our preaching experience, we find this is often quoted to us by merchants, especially the first two lines. The first line, kamani vadhikarasta, you have a right to work. So this line is very popular with persons who like to work. But most of them don't really get the point, ma phaleshu kadachana, you shouldn't be attached to the results. Because mostly the people who quote this, they're very much attached to the results. Let's examine a little bit what this means, that one has a right to work. Srila Prabhupada translates the word here, karmani, as in prescribed duties. What does it say in the translation? In Sanskrit, this would be called swakarma, or one's own work, as prescribed in the Vedic literature. We find this term comes up several times in Bhagavad Gita, swakarma. And as Krishna states also in Bhagavad Gita, everyone has to work. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. Even if we think I won't work, we have to work. At every moment we have to do something. So everyone is doing something. Even if we think I will do nothing, still we have to breathe. That's also doing something. We may think that's a joke, but it's not a joke. We may think I'll leave everything and just go to the forest and do pranayama and only breathe and live on air only. You want to do that? But even by breathing, we are taking something from the atmosphere. We become indebted to Lord Vayu, who is providing the air. So we cannot actually stop work completely. And even if we say, okay, I'll stop breathing also, then this body will die. And then we'll get another body and we'll work in that body. So not only one has a right to work, but everyone is forced to work. So here, karmani doesn't mean that one just has a right to work, but it specifically means one has a right to perform karma according to the dictates of the Vedic literature. And swakarma means specifically according to one's dharma, according to his varna. So a brahmana, he has the right to study shastra, teach shastra, patan, yajan, to perform sacrifices, to perform sacrifices for others also, to accept charity and to give charity. These are the six methods of which a brahmana has the adhikara, the right to perform. And a kshatriya, he has the right and the obligation to act in a manner that will protect the citizens. And a vaishya has the right to protect cows, oversee agricultural activities, do business. And traditionally business doesn't mean like this multinational corporations, but simple trading grains, gold and items like this. And Shudra, their swadharma is to assist others. So everyone within the Varnashram system has a right to perform his duty. But what does it mean that one should not be attached to the result? If one does some work, then something is produced from that. So why should not one be attached to the result? Please don't lean on Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. The Varnashram system was different. Even until recently, the system was that in the village, I'm just giving an example, that even recently in the village there'd be a barber, and when someone needs shaving, he'd come and shave, and you wouldn't pay him. And he wouldn't expect to be paid. He would come and shave because it's his duty, it's his swakarma to shave others. And at the time of harvest, the people would send to the barber, to the dhobi, the washerman, and different, they would send so much rice. And on auspicious ceremonies like weddings or different functions, then they would give to the Shudras. This means Baba, washerman, all these different, they would give them cloth and different things. So people did their work not thinking how much money I would get for it, but just you have to do your duty and then everyone cooperates to help each other to live in society. So society did not run on competition but on cooperation.
With the understanding that we're all here to live in this world, but our real aim of life is spiritual understanding.
Now, what is the cost of land in this area? Anyone know? 5 lakhs for 1 acre.
One ground.
But previously land was not sold. How can you sell land? Bhumi is our mother. You can't sell. How can you sell your mother? You can't sell land. You can't sell cows. How can you sell? They're not commercial items. They could be given away in charity, but you cannot sell. It's a completely different concept of life. The owner of the land would mean he would not have the consciousness, I am the owner, but I am overseeing, that's all. Even the agriculturalist is producing grains, that is to be distributed to other members of society, and excess, or that is to be used in yajna. About approximately 1980, I was speaking to one gentleman in Bangladesh. He was about 60 years old. He told me, in our childhood, there was no selling of milk. Everyone had sufficient, and if you needed some more, you'd just ask others, please give some milk. Actually, in Mahabharata it stated that to sell milk is sinful. So you can see what a different kind of society it was to the modern society, which is based, everything is a commodity and everyone is interested in profit for himself. So one of the main functions of the Krishna Conscious Movement is a very big job to try to re-establish this agrarian-based society with Krishna in the center. Agrarian, agriculture. Agricultural-based. To create a favorable situation by which people can live peacefully and take to Krishna consciousness. We have heard the Vedic injunctions, Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu, may everyone be happy. Vasundhaiva Kutumbakam, the whole world is our family. But no one thinks like that in the modern age, because everyone is our competitor. In the competitive society, then everyone is our competitor. And even the father is the competitor of the son, and vice versa. This is all because we do not recognize that we are all actually maintained by Krishna, but instead we are thinking, I have to show my own power. Now this word adhika, this is used in especially by Gauriya Vaishnavas to define different levels of spiritual advancement. Thus devotees are classified as Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari, which means beginner, one on the intermediate stage and one on the topmost stage. So it means they all, according to their level of advancement, they all have individual adhika or eligibility. Eligibility to act in various levels of Krishna consciousness. Again, Krishna consciousness, it means kind of activity or work. Krishna consciousness, that is described as Krishna Bhavanamrita, or the nectar of bhavana, means feelings or concept of Krishna. Krishna Bhavanamrita, that's...
I explain the next English terms.
Yeah, but you didn't want to say in Sanskrit? They don't understand these words, bhavana, amrita, that doesn't come in Tamil? No? Oh. Bhavana, Amrit, these words come in Tamil, no? Yeah, so if you say Krishna Bhavanamrit, it becomes more clear. But bhavana means that has to be expressed in activity. There are different spiritual or partially spiritual levels: karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti. Karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti. Karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti. But bhakti, within bhakti there's also karma, jnana and yoga. What is generally considered as karma activities within this material world, that is not bhakti. But bhakti also includes activities. So there's also karma in bhakti. For instance, if we sweep the floor of Krishna's temple for the pleasure of Krishna, that is karma, but that is not mundane karma, that is bhakti. So karma adhikar is also there in bhakti, the eligibility for different kinds of work. Kanishta adhikari means one who's just in the beginning stages of bhakti, or the lower level of bhakti. And kanishta adhikari is his specific adhikar or eligibility is for deity worship, archana. This achaye eva hariye pujamya shadhayanvite. This is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the beginning level of devotee has the eligibility to worship. He worships the deity with faith. Na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. But if one worships the deity, but one doesn't recognize other devotees or other people, he's callous to them, then such a person is known as, his bhakti is mixed with materialism. Not a very highly developed level of bhakti. Now, according to gradation of varna, the brahmana is on the highest level. And brahmana is meant for archana, for deity worship. But that is considered the beginning stage of bhakti. Of course, topmost devotees, they also worship the deity. But those who are on a more developed level, madhyamadhika, they have the eligibility also to preach Krishna consciousness. The neophyte devotee tends to see Krishna and me. The neophyte devotee tends to see Krishna and me. This is the deity, I am worshipping the deity, that is bhakti. But a devotee of madhyamadhika, he sees the Lord and others also. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu tvishachucha prema maitri kripopeksha. Prema maitri kripopeksha. Then, what is the next line? Sabhakta madhyamasmita. That one on the madhyamadhika, he sees the Supreme Lord, his devotees, innocent people, and those who are envious. And accordingly, he offers his love to God, he makes friendship with the devotees, he is compassionate to the innocent, and he avoids the envious. So a madhyamadhikari, he is especially meant for preaching Krishna consciousness. His eligibility is expanded because he sees all living beings in relationship with Krishna. And he sees that some people are Krishna conscious and others are not. We should try to help those who are not in Krishna consciousness to come to Krishna consciousness. His eligibility to serve Krishna is at a higher level. We tend to think that who is worshipping the deity, this is the highest level. Once in Vrindavan, some of our Western devotees were in the temple of Sri Radharaman, and were having darshan of him, and from their faces it was clear that they were expressing a lot of
faith and love for the deity. So seeing this, the pujari was very pleased and said that, well, due to your faith, in your next birth, you can take birth in India like me, and then you can worship the deity like me. So the Western devotees, they went back to the ISKCON temple in Vrindavan and told this incident to Prabhupada, who was there at the time. So Prabhupada said, you should go back and tell him, tell the pujari, that due to his devotion to the deity, in the next life, he'll get the opportunity to be born in the Western countries and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. His eligibility is to directly serve Krishna. He is Bhagavat Bhavamatmanaha. He's completely overwhelmed with love of Bhagavan. Sarva Bhuteshu Yah Prashyat Bhagavat Bhavamatmanaha. He sees the presence of God in every living being. That doesn't mean that he makes the mistake of seeing every living being as God. But he considers that every living being is a servant of God. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a lecture in Navadvip town on the qualities or the eligible on this topic, Adhika. And he described the qualities of Kanishta Adhikaris, of Madhyam Adhikaris. Then when he came to describe the quality of Uttam Adhikari, he said, there is no need for me to talk on this topic very much. Because here in Navadvip is living my Gurudev, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And if you, just by seeing him, you can understand what is the behavior of a Mahabhagavat. So he'd been giving the lecture, usually gave long lectures, minimum 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, 4 hours. Nowadays people don't have so much time or interest to listen so long. So all through the lecture he'd been speaking, but just as he said this, somehow he turned his head to the side. And he saw that Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, his guru, had been sitting in one corner listening to his lecture. But when he said that to see the qualities of Uttamadhikari, you have to see my Guru Dev, then his guru got up and started walking away. Just another symptom of his topmost level of devotion. He didn't like to hear himself being praised. But many people misunderstood Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Because he, from external point of view, he appeared to be eccentric. I don't know the Tamil word. Some young man came to live next to Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and he wanted to show, I'm more renounced than he. So he used to keep the skull, one human skull, for drinking water, as if to show, I'm more renounced than Gaurakishore. People were surprised to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was the disciple of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is known as Sakshad Vairagya Murti, the direct manifestation, for want of a better word, or the embodiment. English is a terrible language, but anyway, we have to try and say it in English. Of renunciation. Vairagya also. It's better to learn Sanskrit, actually. This, you can say Sakshad Vairagya Murti in Tamil, but in English you can't say it. You can say the embodiment of renunciation, but both embodiment is the wrong word and renunciation is the wrong word also. English is meant for going to hell, that's all. Anyway, say it. Sakshad Vairagya Murti. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, before taking sannyas, he was living like that also. Very renounced and just chanting all day and eating almost nothing.
But then after taking sannyas, he started to live in brick buildings and drive in cars and have nice clothes. People are saying, well, it should be around the other way. That you when you take sannyas, you give up all these things. And he used to criticize the Babajis, that these people are bogus. How is he a follower of Gaur Kishordas, Babaji Maharaj? Actually, Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur, that he is Uttam Adhikari, Mahabhagavat. Mahabhagavat is the minimum you can call him.
Is it this Gaur Kishordas?
Yeah, both. They're both. There is no difference in the mood of Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to preach. Otherwise, he had no interest in all these things. He was able to do that, to accept all these nice things, because he was an Uttam Adhikari. He had no... He was fully absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, he could accept all things, these things without any attachment to these things. Uttam Adhikari, he is fit for... He has the eligibility to hear about and enter into Krishna's most intimate pastimes. There are many books written about Krishna's intimate pastimes, such as Gita Govinda is very famous. There are others also, Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, and so on.
Bhavanamrita.
There are so many books. Rai Ramananda's Jagannath Vallabh Natak and Vidagdha Madhava. There are many such books. But not everyone has the eligibility to understand them. They're not meant for Kanishta Adhikaris, nor even for Madhyam Adhikari. One should understand what is one's adhika, because adhika langhan, or crossing over one's adhika, is the cause of fall down. So everyone has a right to perform bhakti, because every jiva is part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is meant to serve Krishna. Everyone should work according to his capacity under proper guidance. The Kanishtha Adhikari, most important thing for him is to hear Shravanam. Because his understanding of Krishna consciousness is very limited and in many cases is also somewhat perverted. Therefore, he's called Prakrita Bhakta. His understanding is mixed up with material concepts. The Madhyam Adhikari, his most important service or his prominent service is Kirtanam, preaching Krishna consciousness. And for the one of Uttam Adhikara, he has the actual Adhikara eligible to always remember Krishna, Smaranam, and Seva. On the intimate seva of the Supreme Lord. Uttam Adhikari, his kirtan, that comes as a automatic result of smaran. Kanishta and Madhyam Adhikari, they will perform kirtan with the aim of attaining smaran, remembrance of the Lord. But for a topmost devotee, his smaran and his kirtan comes from his smaran, and his kirtan and smaran are non-different. That is actual kirtan. Therefore it's said that we should hear the holy names of the Lord from the lips of pure devotees of the Lord. That chanting is imbued with Krishna Shakti. That chanting is imbued with Seva Bhav, the full desire to serve Krishna only. So hearing from the lips of pure devotees inspires and lifts up the non-devotees to the level of devotional service, and the aspiring or Kanishtha and Madhyam Adhikari to the highest level of devotional service. So everyone is eligible to perform bhakti, and everyone should do so. But one should do so according to one's level of eligibility. If one tries to take a position for which he is not fit, that will be the cause of fall down. So, shanai shanai uparamet, buddha driti grihitaya. One should go carefully forward, step by step, with intelligence and determination. With faith that by chanting the holy names and serving the Vaishnavas, that we will gradually attain to higher levels. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? My views are useless. What's the use of views? We should hear from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra and repeat.
You're one of everything. You're present all of them. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra.
Well, then it shouldn't be my view. If that's actually a fact, if I'm actually representing Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. If I'm not, I shouldn't be here. Kick me out. And then.
Your explanation about the function of the Uttamadikari, we see in our parampara a lot of acharyas will be considered Uttamadikari also aggressive, very determined creatures. We see that as the adhikar of the...
Madhyamadhikar is the adhikar of a preacher. So, what about our pure devotee preachers? I was giving an example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Did he become less by giving up his he was living like Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Did he become less by taking sannyas and taking up the preaching mission? No, not at all. The pure devotee preacher, that is a function of his tremendous compassion upon the fallen jivas. So he functions at the level of a madhyamadhikari for the sake of preaching. Because a pure devotee, he says, sarvabhuteshu yapasyad bhagavad bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavad yatmani Esha Bhagavato Tama. He sees that all living beings are fully absorbed in Krishna. So if one sees like that, he can't preach. So the Madhyamadhikari sees the Lord, his devotees, the innocent non-devotees and the envious non-devotees. And so he makes a gradation, sees the difference. This is required if one is to preach. So, Uttamadhikari preacher and Madhyamadhikari preacher, it's not exactly the same. That is why Prabhupada, he once said to his disciples that actually I am, in this movement, I am the preacher and you can simply assist me. So the Madhyamadhikari, he preaches considering himself a servant of his topmost devotee, guru, who is top on Bhagavatottama platform, topmost platform, who is actually qualified to give Krishna to others. So that's the understanding, that topmost devotee apparently comes down a level. He doesn't actually come down, but he acts on that level for the sake of preaching. So our acharyas who are preaching, it's not that they're madhyamadhikaris. They're topmost devotees. This Bhaktisiddhanta, we see here in our parampara, the pictures are there. So Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was bhajananandi. He didn't go out to preach. He was interested in performing his bhajan, worshipping the Lord. Again, bhajan, worshipping. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgot about the translation there. So,
Now I converted him into a bhajananandi. Yeah, you can paraphrase.
Up to now, or you can finish the answer.
All right. So, the others, they were engaged in preaching work. But it's not that one is more or less. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from the external point of view, there seemed to be a great difference between him and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj appeared to be illiterate, almost, and not highly educated. Whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was even from in the view of the mundaners, was highly educated. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that whatever I'm speaking, it's only what I heard from my Guru Maharaj. As he inspires me within the heart, I'm able to speak. So you may say that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj wasn't preaching, but he had one disciple, and through that one disciple, he preached to the whole world.
கேள்வி என்ன அப்படின்னா, நம்மளுடைய ஆச்சாரியர்கள்ல உத்தம அதிகாரி நிலையில இருக்கக்கூடிய நிறைய பக்தர்கள் பிரச்சாரத்துல முழுமையாக ஈடுபட்டு இருக்கிறார்கள். அந்த நிலையை எப்படி புரிந்து கொள்வது என்ற கேள்வி. அதுக்கு மகாராஜ் என்ன பதில் சொன்னார் அப்படின்னா, நம்மளுடைய பரம்பரையிலே பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி தாக்கூர் சந்நியாசம் எடுத்து பிரச்சாரம் செய்ததனால் அவர் தன்னுடைய நிலையில் இருந்து குறைந்து விடவில்லை. அவர் சன்னியாசம் எடுத்து பிரச்சாரம் செய்வதற்கு முன்பாக மிகவும் துறவம் கொண்ட ஒரு வாழ்க்கையை தான் வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருந்தார். ஆனால் இந்த உத்தம அதிகாரிகள் இந்த பௌதிக உலகத்தில் இருக்கக்கூடிய விழுந்த நிலையில் இருக்கக்கூடிய ஆத்மாக்களை பார்த்து மிகவும் பரிதாபப்பட்டு அவர்களை முன்னேற்றுவதற்காக தன்னுடைய உத்தம அதிகாரி நிலையில், அதாவது எல்லா ஜீவராசிகளிலும் கிருஷ்ணரையே பார்ப்பது, அந்த நிலையில் இருந்தால் நாம் பிரச்சாரம் செய்ய முடியாது, ஏன்னா எல்லோரையும் கிருஷ்ணராக பார்ப்போம். ஆனால் அவர்கள் மத்திய அதிகாரியினுடைய நிலைக்கு வந்து இந்த வித்தியாசங்களை பார்த்து பகவானுடைய பக்தர், அறியாம நிலையில் இருக்கக்கூடிய பக்தர் அல்லாதவர்கள், அப்புறம் பொறாமை கொண்டுள்ள பக்தர் அல்லாதவர்கள் என்று பாகுபாடு பார்த்து அதற்கேற்ற மாதிரி பிரச்சாரம் செய்வார்கள். அதற்காக அவர்கள் தங்களுடைய நிலையில் இருந்து எந்த விதத்திலும் குறைந்து விடவில்லை. சிலர் வித்தியாசமாக நினைப்பார்கள், கௌர கிஷோர்தாஸ் பாலாஜி மகாராஜாவையும் பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி மகாராஜாவையும். ஆனால் கௌர கிஷோர்தாஸ் பாலாஜி மகாராஜ் அவர்கள் பஜனானந்தி, இவர்கள் இருவருக்கும் எந்த விதமான வித்தியாசமும் கிடையாது. சிலர் கௌர கிஷோர்தாஸ் பாபாஜி மகாராஜ் அவர்கள் பிரச்சாரமே செய்யவில்லை என்று கூறுவார்கள். ஆனால் அவருக்கு ஒரு சிஷ்யர், அந்த ஒரு சிஷ்யர் மூலமாக அவர் இந்த முழு உலகத்திற்குமே பிரச்சாரம் செய்தார்.
ஸ்ரீல பக்திசந்த சரஸ்வதி தாக்கூர் ரோட் பரம்பரா ஜானோ பலோ மாதே. We should understand very well what is our parampara.
பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி தாக்கூர் எழுதினார், நாம் நம்முடைய பரம்பரை என்னவென்று சரிவர புரிந்து கொள்ள வேண்டும் என்று.
So I hope to present to you all quite soon a book on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
நான் கூடிய விரைவில் பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி தாக்கூரை பற்றி ஒரு புத்தகத்தை வெளியிடுவதில் ஆவலாக இருக்கின்றேன்.
We can just begin to get some idea of how elevated is the dust of his lotus feet.
அதன் மூலமாக நாம் அவருடைய பாத துளிகள் எப்படி மிகவும் உயர்ந்தது என்று புரிந்து கொள்ள ஆரம்பிக்கலாம்.
Did I say that? Maybe. Anyway, it's an acceptable statement.
How to know what is my Swadharma and how to practice?
For you it's easier. For women it's Sri Dharma.
கேள்வி என்ன அப்படின்னா, இந்த தற்போதைய காலத்துல எந்த விதமான வர்ணாசிரமங்கள் முறையும் இல்லை. அதுல என்னுடைய ஸ்வதர்மா அப்படிங்கிறது என்ன அப்படிங்கறது எப்படி புரிஞ்சுக்கிறதுங்கிறது கேள்வி. அதுக்கு மகாராஜ் சொன்ன பதில், உங்களுடைய சுதர்மத்தை புரிந்து கொள்வது ரொம்ப எளிமையானது, அது ஸ்ரீ தர்மம்.
The men might be confused, but the women's duty is to serve them.
ஒரு ஆண் குழம்பி நிலையில் இருக்கலாம், ஆனால் ஒரு பெண்ணுடைய கடமை ஆணிற்கு சேவை செய்வது.
That's our worldly dharma.
Worldly
dharma, worldly.
அதான் உலக தர்மம்,
பௌதிக.
இந்த பௌதிக தர்மம்.
Of course, in the modern age, they won't agree.
ஆனால் இந்த தற்போதைய காலத்தில் இதை ஒத்துக்கொள்ள மாட்டார்கள்.
The women will go out to work and as an airline pilot or something, and the men will stay at home holding the baby.
பெண்கள் விமானத்தில் ஓட்டுநராக பணிபுரிய செல்வார்கள், அதற்கு பதிலாக ஆண்கள் வீட்டில் குழந்தையை பராமரித்துக் கொள்வார்கள். அந்த நிலையில் இருக்கின்றோம்.
We live in unusual times.
நாம் மிகவும் அசாதாரணமான நேரங்களில் வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கிறோம்.
It's required to re-establish Varnashram in human society. This factory-based society is not suitable for Varnashram. This is suitable for making demons only, this modern society.
அந்த கேள்வியினுடைய தொடர்ச்சியாக ஆண்களுடைய சுதர்மத்தை எப்படி தெரிந்து கொள்வது என்று அதுக்கு மகாராஜ் என்ன பதில் சொன்னார்கள் அப்படின்னா, இந்த வர்ணாசிரம முறை மீண்டும் ஏற்படுத்த வேண்டும். இந்த ஆலைகள் வைத்திருக்கும் இந்த காலகட்டத்தில் அசுரர்களை தான் நாம் ஏற்படுத்த முடியும்.
Factory just converts everyone into a demon, that's all.
இந்த தொழிற்சாலைகள் எல்லோரையுமே அசுரர்களாக மாற்றிக் கொண்டிருக்கிறது, அவ்வளவுதான்.
Anyone who works in a factory, they'll want to drink, they'll want to smoke and woman eyes and so many things, or man eyes.
தொழிற்சாலையில் வேலை செய்யக்கூடிய எல்லோருமே குடிப்பார்கள், புகைப்பிடிப்பார்கள், பெண்களோடு இருக்க விரும்புவார்கள் அல்லது ஆண்களோடு இருக்க விரும்புவார்கள், அவ்வளவுதான்.
So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave some directions for re-establishing Varnashram.
இந்த வர்ணாசிரமத்தை மீண்டும் நிலைநிறுத்துவதற்கு Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur சில வழிகாட்டுகிறார்.
But the first thing is required to is to have genuine brahmanas. The first thing is the head has to be in order.
இதற்கு முதல் படியாக தேவைப்படுவது சரியான பிராமணர்கள், அதாவது தலை சரியாக இருக்க வேண்டும்.
Brahmanas are compared to the head of society.
பிராமணர்கள் இந்த சமுதாயத்தின் தலையாக கருதப்படுகிறார்கள்.
So if the head is out of order, then the whole body is crazy.
தலை சரிவர இல்லை என்றால் முழு உடலுமே சரியாக இருக்காது.
So we see that modern intellectuals are promoting gross materialism, so therefore the whole society is misdirected.
இந்த நவீன காலத்தில் இருக்கக்கூடிய புத்திசாலிகள் பூரா பௌதிகத்தை செயல்படுத்துகிறார்கள், ஆகையால் தான் சமுதாயத்தில் இப்படி இருக்கிறது.
So Prabhupada wanted to establish this Krishna conscious movement for making actual brahmanas.
சில புரோபாத் இந்த கிருஷ்ண பக்தி இயக்கத்தை உண்மையான பிராமணர்களை ஏற்படுத்துவதற்காக ஏற்படுத்தினார்.
Highly knowledgeable in Shastra.
சாஸ்திரங்களில் மிகுந்த ஞானமுடையவர்களாகவும்
and detached from material enjoyment.
பௌதிக ஆசைகளிலிருந்து, பௌதியத்தை அனுபவிக்க வேண்டும் என்ற எண்ணத்தில் இருந்து விடுபட்டவர்களாகவும் இருக்க வேண்டும்.
Fully dedicated to Krishna.
கிருஷ்ணரிடம் முழுமையாக அர்ப்பணிக்க வேண்டும்.
And competent to act as guides for the rest of human society.
மற்ற மனித சமுதாயத்திற்கு ஒரு வழிகாட்டியாக செயல்படுவதற்குரிய தகுதியுடையவர்களாக இருக்க வேண்டும்.
So our movement is actually meant to be educational.
ஆகையால் நம்முடைய இயக்கம் கற்பிக்கக்கூடிய ஒரு இயக்கமாக கருதப்பட வேண்டியது.
To give instruction to all of society on how to live as human beings so that we can transcend birth and death.
நாம் எல்லோரும் எப்படி மனிதர்களாக வாழ்ந்து இந்த பிறப்பு இறப்பை தாண்டி செல்வது என்பதை சொல்லிக் கொடுக்கக்கூடியது.
So to facilitate that, there are many things to do, such as building temples.
அதற்கு உதவி செய்வதற்கு நான் நிறைய காரியங்கள் செய்ய வேண்டியது இருக்கிறது. அதில் ஒன்று கோயில்கள் கட்டுவது.
But we should know that an ISKCON temple is not meant to be like any other temple where someone rings a bell and collects money and that's all.
ஆனால் நம்முடைய ISKCON கோயில்கள் மற்ற கோயில்கள் மாதிரி கிடையாது, அதாவது மணியை அடித்துக்கொண்டு பணம் வசூலிப்பது என்பது போல் இல்லாமல் இருக்க வேண்டும்.
But it is especially meant for training persons of the highest character.
மிக உயர்ந்த குணாதிசயங்கள் இருக்கக்கூடிய நபரை பயிற்சி செய்வது என்பதுதான் இதனுடைய நோக்கம்.
Who knows Shastra?
அவர் சாஸ்திரம் தெரிந்தவராக இருக்க வேண்டும்.
What is the conclusion of Shastra?
சாஸ்திரங்களுடைய முடிவு என்ன என்று தெரிந்திருக்க வேண்டும்.
How to apply that in practical life?
அதை எப்படி நடைமுறை வாழ்க்கையில் நடைமுறைப்படுத்துவது என்று தெரிந்திருக்க வேண்டும்.
That was Prabhupada's vision.
அதுதான் பிரபுபாதாவினுடைய குறிக்கோளாக இருந்தது.
So you can judge for yourself how successful that is becoming.
நீங்களே முடிவு செய்து கொள்ளுங்கள் அது எப்படி வெற்றி பெற்று வருகிறது என்பதை.
As you have asked for opinions, my personal opinion is that our movement is lagging behind in this department in general.
நம்முடைய இந்த சமூகமானது இதில் பின்தங்கி இருக்கிறது என்பதுதான் என்னுடைய அபிப்பிராயம்.
It is not easy to build temples. It's a big struggle.
ஒரு கோயில் கட்டுவது என்பது மிக எளிமையான காரியம் அல்ல, அது ஒரு பெரிய போராட்டம்.
But it's relatively easy compared to building up people's character.
ஆனால் ஒரு மனிதனுடைய குணங்களை வளர்ப்பதை ஒப்பிடும் பொழுது கோயில் கட்டுவது மிகவும் எளிமையான காரியம்.
So building temples is not in and of itself the purpose of ISKCON.
ஆயால் கோயில் கட்டுவது மட்டுமே ISKCON-னுடைய குறிக்கோள் அல்ல.
It is meant to be a means to an end.
அது நம்முடைய குறிக்கோளுக்கு ஒரு வழிகாட்டுதல், வழிகாட்டி.
The end or the real thing that is required is to build people up in Krishna consciousness.
நம்முடைய இறுதி குறிக்கோள் என்னவென்றால் நல்ல குணங்களை உடைய நபர்களை பயிற்சி செய்வது என்பதுதான்.
To build temples in everybody's heart.
ஒவ்வொருடைய இதயத்திலும் கோயில்கள் ஏற்படுத்துவது.
So we have lot of work in education.
கற்பிப்பதில் நமக்கு நிறைய சேவை இருக்கிறது.
And education means spiritual education.
இது ஆன்மீக பாடம்.
That doesn't mean just learning slokas. There are many societies, which is good, in South India especially, they teach so many slokas. But that in and of itself does not constitute spiritual education.
வெறும் ஸ்லோகங்கள் கற்பிப்பது மட்டும் ஒரு முழுமையான ஆன்மீக பாடமாகாது. தென்னிந்தியாவிலே நிறைய சமுதாயங்கள் இருக்கிறது, ஆனால் ஸ்லோகங்கள் கற்பது மட்டுமே முழுமையான ஆன்மீக பாடங்கள் ஆகாது.
It's good to learn the slokas, but we have to know what the meaning is and how to apply that in our lives.
நாம் ஸ்லோகங்கள் தெரிந்து கொள்வது மிகவும் நல்லது, ஆனால் அதனுடைய அர்த்தம் என்ன, அதை எப்படி நடைமுறை வாழ்க்கையில் நாம் செயல்படுத்தலாம் என்பது தெரிந்திருக்க வேண்டும்.
So that is real brahminical training.
அதான் உண்மையான பிராமணர்களை பயிற்சி செய்யும் விதம்.
When there are actual brahmanas, then we can begin to think of establishing varnashram.
நம்மிடையே உண்மையான பிராமணர்கள் இருந்தார்கள் என்றால் அதற்கு பின்பாக நாம் உண்மையான வர்ணாசிரம முறையை நிலைநிறுத்துவதை பற்றி யோசிக்கலாம்.
But unfortunately, everyone wants their son to be a Shudra.
ஆனால் துரதிருஷ்டவசமாக ஒவ்வொருவரும் தங்களுடைய புத்திரர்கள் சூத்திரர்களாக இருக்க வேண்டும் என்று விருப்பப்படுகிறார்கள்.
Even our initiated congregational devotees, if we say, now you send your son, we'll train him as a Brahmana. No, I want him to be a software engineer, which means a technological Shudra.
ஆனால் நம்மளுடைய காங்கிரிகேஷனல் பக்தர்களே கூட, தீட்சை பெற்றவர்கள் கூட, உங்களுடைய பயன்களை அனுப்புங்கள், அவர்களை பிராமணர்களாக பயிற்சி செய்கின்றோம் என்று கூறினால், இல்லை இல்லை அவர்கள் கம்ப்யூட்டர் இன்ஜினியர் ஆகணும் அப்படின்னு சொல்லி விருப்பப்படுறாங்க. அப்படின்னா என்ன அர்த்தம் அப்படின்னா, அவங்க தொழில்நுட்பத்தில் வல்லுநர்களாக இருக்கக்கூடிய சூத்திரர்கள் என்று அர்த்தம்.
So and so, Mr. Ayenga is very proud. My son is working for a multinational corporation as a computer engineer.
ஒரு ஐயனர் மிகவும் தற்பொருமையாக கூறினார், என்னுடைய பையன் ஒரு பன்னாட்டு நிறுவனத்திலே கம்ப்யூட்டர் இன்ஜினியராக வேலை செய்து கொண்டிருக்கிறார்
என்று. His forefathers were worshiping God.
ஆனால் அவருடைய முன்னோர்கள் பகவானை வழிபட்டுக் கொண்டிருந்தார்கள்.
They weren't working as the paid servant of a beef eater.
அவர்கள் மாடை சாப்பிடக்கூடியவர்களிடத்திலே சம்பளம் வாங்கிக் கொண்டு இருக்கவில்லை.
And proud of it.
அதிலும் பெருமை கொண்டு.
They should be ashamed.